Maybe it's Hashem calling.
To get rid of my phone.
Okay. Okay. So we have a Ralbag. The truth is, I'm a little trouble reading this Ralbag. So hopefully we'll read it together, see if we can make sense out of it. That's the shmooze, just to make sense out of the Ralbag. For the shmooze. Okay. It says, it starts really on the second line. It says that they told people when there's enough melach, enough truma for the Beis HaMikdash, stop to bring it. I'm in the second line, from the middle of the second line. From here we learn out, She'ein roi la'adam she'yakdish l'shem yisadam yilechasav. It's not proper to give to Hashem from your property. Yoyzer min haroi, more than is needed, proper. Became hekesh bin stocket. And from here we apply this, we make a hekesh, became a hekesh for stocket. What is that amru? And this is why we find the Chazal say, Hamivazev ayivazev yoyzer min chomish. It's a halacha that you're not supposed to give more than a fifth of your money to stocket. That's the Gemara. Why not? Because you shouldn't become an ani, and you'll need, and you might need to get stuck from other people. And what's the explanation? In other words, the fact we say here that you're not supposed to give to the Beis HaMikdash more than they need for the Beis HaMikdash, that's similar to giving, that means you're giving more than it's roi. So that's similar to staka, giving more than a chaimesh, which is not roi. Bizeshahu, and what is the reason why you're not supposed to give more than a chaimesh? Roi shenizer, it's proper that we should be careful, but plurals ataivis, with our good deeds, shal yasu ba'ifin shikrim ra'at, that it shouldn't do them in a way that a bad result will come out. Pen yecharko anoshem, because we're afraid that it'll turn, cause other people to go away. If it will happen that a person will become an ani, because he gave too much staka, people will say, look what the results of giving staka. This person gave a great amount and became poor. And this will bring about and cause people not to give staka. Okay, the Rabbah said this the second time in the end of the parshan of Kudai. He says it again in the Toelos. So if you want to look, maybe says it a drop clearer there. I think that this is a little clearer here, but okay. Anyway, so what does Ralbag say? He says that the Pasuk is telling you that you're not supposed to give to the Beis HaMikdash when it's not needed. From that's telling us a lesson, don't give tzedakah to the Beis HaShem if there's no point. From there we learn out, we compare to tzedakah. Stocker, you're not supposed to give more than a fifth. And there's a reason. Because you might become an ani. What's so terrible if you become an ani? So he says the reason is because then people will be turned off from giving stocker. So the simple shot, before we say any shmuzim, in the Rabbah doesn't make any sense, pashtus, because he seems pretty clear that the reason why you're not supposed to give more than a fifth of stocker is because of this problem that you might become an ani, and then you're going to cause people not to give staka. Now that reason does not seemingly apply by the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, with no question, they weren't giving, that's when you're giving more than a certain percentage of your wealth, there's a danger you'll become an ani. Beis HaMikdash doesn't say anything about giving more than a percentage of their wealth. They were just, the reason why they told them to stop is because it was not needed. Could be there was only You know, they could be they were still very, very wealthy. They could be a person only gave 1% of his wealth. Could be a person gave no percentage of his wealth. It was just the halacha was that since we don't need the malacha was dayim, so they told them to stop bringing. And that, the Rabag says, is the reason, is because you're not supposed to give staka when it's not needed. So what in the world does this have to do with not giving staka more than a fifth? By staka more than a fifth, here, the idea is, don't give staka if staka has no use for the money. Right? What are you giving staka money if they don't need it? You're giving the Beis HaMikdash a donation, and they have no need for the donation. So don't give a donation if the organization that you're giving it to has no need for the money. Now, from there we may learn out, don't give staka more than a fifth. Over there, there is a need. There is a need. The only problem is that there's a danger that you become an ani. So there's nothing to do with each other. They have no shaykhis. By the Beis HaMikdash, they not to do it. Nothing to do because you're going to become an ani because they don't need it. Well, they don't need it. What are you doing giving it for that they don't need it? May staka, if I care, the ani needs a staka. There's a very big need for the staka. There's a very big good reason to give more than a fifth. The reason that we have by the Beis HaMikdash just implied by the ani. By the staka, we have a completely different reason. Because maybe you'll become an ani. You become an ani, you'll make a chid of Hashem. So what does one thing have to do with the other? How do you learn one from the other? It just doesn't make sense. Just because you find out a din from Beis HaMikdash that you're not supposed to give if it's not needed, so how does that apply that you're not supposed to give staka more when it is needed more than a fifth? And they have nothing to do with each other. So I don't really know the answer. Don't really know. I had many, many possible answers, or a few possible answers, but I don't know for sure. It's definitely not mukhruch what the answer is, in my opinion. The best answer that I thought of, but I don't know, I'm not crazy about it either, is just to say that it's like a low plug. That the reason for the, you know, he doesn't really say why you shouldn't give to the Beis HaMikdash if they don't need it. What does it hurt? So they'll have it in the bank. What's hurt? So the main reason, the main problem is don't give staka more than a chaimesh, because there's a real problem. What's the real problem? You might become an ani and then you'll make a chido Hashem. People won't give staka. Because that's usur, therefore, there's a din. Don't give staka more than you're supposed to. Oh, don't give staka more than you're supposed to. So giving staka more than necessary is similar. It's like a low plug. People will give staka more than it's necessary, then they'll come to give staka more than they're supposed to, because it's the same type of idea that you're giving staka more than there's really what than you're supposed to give. If I'm going to give staka more than I'm supposed to give to the Beis HaMikdash, then I might give the ani more staka than I'm supposed to give. By the ani, it would be very bad if I gave him more than I'm supposed to give, because it might make a chid Hashem. So therefore, because of like a low plug or a gzeira, since I don't want to give to the ani more than a fifth, because that's a negative, therefore I shouldn't give to the Beis HaMikdash, even though there is no negative, because it's similar. It's a low plug. Okay. I'm not sure if that's pshat, but okay, maybe that's pshat. Okay. Basically, I wanted to say two tahirs in this Ralbag. The main one is the second, but we'll do the first one first. The Ralbag says, the Ralbag is a chiddush, in that everybody learns that the reason why you're not supposed to give more than a fifth to staka is becoming, the Gemara says, because you might become a pauper, an ani. So the normal reason is, the way people understand it, ani chashev kemeis, you can't serve Hashem, it's not good for you to be an ani. If a person becomes an ani, he won't be able to serve Hashem. It'll take away from his Simchas Achayim. You won't be happy. You'll be, you know, you can't really serve Hashem properly if you're not happy. You'll have distractions. You'll have to run around and make money. You won't have Menuchas and Nefesh to sin and learn, whatever. That's the general way, the Gemara in Suvas, that you're not supposed to give more than a Chaimish because you might become an Ani and it's bad for you. Comes along the Rabag, a Chiddush Jacob Pshat. I don't believe I ever saw anyone learn this Pshat before. That the problem is not that it's bad for you to be an Ani. Okay, you'll be an Ani, you'll be an Ani. Worst comes to worst, you become an Ani, you'll be an Ani. The problem is the Hashbah on the other people. Other people are going to see that you became an Ani, and that's going to cause them not to want to give staka. So it's in the Chiddush Hashem Shabbat. It's an unusual pshat. Don't give staka more than a chaimish, because maybe you'll become an Ani. New words come to words, I become an Ani, so what? Because then it's going to go ahead and cause other people to discourage them from giving staka. So I thought that that was a chiddush from really two angles. First angle, by saying it's a chiddush Hashem, because people are going to see that you became an Ani, and they're going to see you became an Ani because of the staka, and therefore they're not going to give staka. Now, if you would have asked me, I would have thought, if you're looking up talking about Chiddush Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, it's just the opposite. A guy goes ahead and gives a lot of staka, that makes a Kiddush Hashem. Everyone says, wow, did you see what he did? He gave so much staka. He gave so much staka, I'm going to also give, right? People, that's Kiddush Hashem, is when you see someone else doing a mitzvah, it inspires you. Here, this person wants to do a mitzvah. He wants to do a mitzvah of giving staka. The fact that he's going to give more than a chaimish is not guaranteed that he's going to become an Ani. The probability is you don't become an Ani. Most people don't become an Ani. He still has four-fifths of his money still. We're not talking about that he's giving his last penny. Obviously, he's giving his staka. He's assuming he's not going to become an Ani. Mm-hmm. That's a pashut pshat. He thinks, knowing his financial situation, he's under the impression that he can afford to give more staka, and he wants to give more staka, wants to get the mitzvah. So he wants to make a beautiful donation. So I would have thought, wow, everyone's going to say, wow, did you see that? Yanko gave a fourth of his money to staka. Oh. Okay. Adamai, once in a blue moon, it'll happen that Yanko will lose his money. People say, oh, you know why? He lost his money because he gave too much staka. It's not necessarily mukhluk. Could be he lost his money. Stabbing, you know, he that's not why he lost. I mean, four-fifths of his money, he didn't lose because of staka. So for most of us, he probably lost his money for some other reason. But they'll blame the staka. So I would have thought that that's not a, you know, that the Kiddush Hashem greatly outweighs the Chiddush Hashem. Here, everybody in all situations are inspired by the fact that he's giving so much staka. Once in a blue moon, I assume that it doesn't usually happen that it becomes an Ani. And when it comes an Ani, then there's a potential of a Chiddush Hashem that someone might say, look, he became an Ani because he gave staka. Don't give staka. Even if a person will say that, they're only assuming he became an Ani because he gave more than a fifth. So, but if the problem is, and therefore they won't give more than a fifth, then there's no problem, because we're anyway telling people not to give more than a fifth. In other words, we have to be nervous just to get a clarity. What are we worried about? If we're worried about the people will see this person gave more than a fifth, and then they'll say, I'm also not going to give more than a fifth, there's no problem. So they tell us, okay, worst comes to worst. Other people don't give more than a fifth. That's so terrible. Okay, Adarabba, we're Gufa telling him not to give more than a fifth. So what are we afraid of? Well, worst comes, if you give more than a fifth, the other guy might not give more than a fifth. You know what? We're going to say no one should give more than a fifth. Right? That doesn't make sense. So the whole problem is that we're afraid that other people are going to learn from here not to give anything. So that for sure sounds far-fetched. So, you know, the people, they shouldn't give. Okay, they won't, you know. So here you have a vada kiddush Hashem. You want to go ahead and give staka, and you want to get the amazing mitzvah of staka, and you want to make a kiddush Hashem, and you tell you don't do it because maybe, right? It's only a maybe. Maybe you're going to become an ani, which you don't think is going to happen. You're hashar, and if you become an ani, maybe people are going to think, oh, it's the staka's fault, which is not necessarily true. Could be other reasons. And then they're going to stop giving anything to staka, which is also not, doesn't automatically follow. Maybe they should just stop giving as much staka as you gave. So what the indication here is that the indication here is that even though on the positive side there's so many positive, and gufa even in Kiddush Hashem Chiddush Hashem there seems to be more Kiddush Hashem, but you still have to be worried about the Chiddush Hashem. And the Chiddush Hashem, it obligates you to give up and not to do the mitzvah. What I think the application, the understanding is because somehow or another, what we'll see maybe in the next, because I want to say if I get a chance, that people are always see the negative. So the Chiddush Hashem is more, will be, even though it's more far-fetched, but that Chiddush Hashem becomes more pronounced than the Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, it's worth it to give up the mitzvah. I'm obligated to give up the mitzvah of giving staka. And I'm obligated to give up the mitzvah of making a Kiddush Hashem because of the maybe possibility that people will say, look at that, he became a pauper because of staka. What I thought the application, what I think why it's a nice to hear, is the same thing would probably be true by any person learning in yeshiva, by any person who's doing mitzvahs. Let's say a person learns in yeshiva. And then something, in a certain sense, things happen, chas v'sham, something in life, which is a little bit rough. Instead of losing his money, something else happens, this, that. So there's a potential. What you see from this Rav Bag is that people have a tendency, they're going to blame. Oh, you know why this guy, you know why he never got married. You know why he didn't get a job. You know why he's an ani. Because he went into Nerton Yeshiva. You know, which means that you have the people have a tendency to do that, to come to this conclusion, and we're obligated to worry about that. And even, I mean, in the Rabbah's case, we have to even give up doing mitzvahs worrying about that. But what it surely means, I'm not saying therefore not to learn in yeshiva, I'm saying therefore what it means is to be weary of this potential Chiddush Hashem that we can make. That if a person learning in yeshiva or doing other mitzvahs, and things don't work out so perfectly well for him, he has to be very careful not to broadcast it. He has to be careful not to make it, you don't walk in yeshiva. Because you do that, and the guy looks at you, oh, that's because he's learning in yeshiva. You know, like the people have a tendency to jump on. When it sounds like from the Rav Bag, that when someone who's doing mitzvahs runs into a problem, maybe because people like excuses not to do mitzvahs, so people will jump on it, and they'll blame that problem on your mitzvahs, and then, oh, now I have an excuse. I'm not going to do mitzvahs. Look what happened to him. And we're supposed to worry about that. So therefore, for sure, what we have to be careful, it's a very important yisoid that a yeshiva bacher, he's always on display. That he is. This is what happens when you learn in yeshiva. So you're almost like obligated to always be happy. You're obligated to be positive. You're obligated. You can't go ahead and kvetch. People like to kvetch. You can't kvetch because people, it's a Chiddush Hashem. People are going to say, oh, you know why he lost his money? Because he gave it an extra stock on it. That's what we say. You know why he's having such a rough time in life? Because you did this, because you learned in yeshiva, because you went out of town, because you did this mitzvah, because you did that much. If you wouldn't have done this mitzvah, everything would have been good. So you have to be very, very careful. What the Rabbag is, I think a chiddush in the Rabbag, that if we do mitzvahs, and then if somehow or another something bad happens, and it's possible to connect the bad to the mitzvah, we have to be very careful either to not broadcast the bad or put it on a clear, that make it clear that nothing to do with each other, because human nature, people will go ahead and connect. That's what people somehow, there's almost like a laser beam. Instead of seeing the tremendous Kiddush Hashem that you gave so much money to Stucca, they're going to focus on the negative, and they're going to use that as an excuse for Kiddush Hashem. Okay, I'm going to say quickly, because I didn't expect that to be so long. There's an amazing Medrash, which is a little bit similar, and I'll say it in 1 minute, that the Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu made in Pekudai, the next parasha, this is really next week's parasha, that Moshe made a cheshbon of all the gold that he spent for the Beis HaMikdash. So the kasha is, why did Moshe do that? So the Pasuk says, if you're looking down the Medrash, the Medrash says, Rav Chama Amar, are you Omrim? Chame Kedal Dibre D'Amram. In other words, Dibre D'Amram. They would say that Moshe, the son of Amram, that's Moshe, has these fat cheeks or neck, meaning that he's obviously eating well, indulging in all kinds of pleasures. The Chaveiro Amar, and his friend says back to him, Odom Sheshoyer Amalekas Amishkin, Einat Amavai Sheshoyer, what do you expect? He's in charge of the Mishkan. A lot of money going through his hands. In other words, the people were accusing Moshe that he was stealing money. They collected money. All the Jews donated this tremendous amount of money to build the Mishkan. It went through Moshe's hands. So the people were suspecting Moshe that he was stealing the money for himself, which is obviously an extremely super, super avera. Not just Geneva, but stealing from the Beis HaMikdash, which is not such a, you know, head dish, it's a major avera. So people were accusing Moshe of that, at least on their some level, in their conscious, subconscious. So therefore Moshe made a cheshbon to prove that it's not true, that all the money is accounted for. So it's just an amazing chiddush that Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, etc., Klai Yisrael, he's the one that's speaking Pal Pet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one that was, you know, in the Midbar. He's the one that Hashem chose to build the Mishkan. So Bnei Yisrael are suspecting him to go ahead and to stealing the money. Ad kedei kach, that Moshe had, that was obligated to spend, I'm sure it did not take him 5 minutes. He must have spent hours and hours to make a detailed cheshbon, to get an accounting. He had to be mevatel his time from learning. Moshe's time, you know, Yisrael told him he has no time, but Moshe had to be mevatel his time from teaching, from learning, from all the other mitzvahs he had to do, to make a cheshbon, to prove to Klai Yisrael that he didn't steal the money. So it's a little bit of a similar connection, is that people have a tendency to dun people to kaf chol. That's just the way it is. And even the Dor HaMidbar, in the Midbar with Moshe Rabbeinu, there's absolutely no indication whatsoever to assume that Moshe stole the money. Obviously, it was ridiculous, totally ridiculous. And people are just assuming, this is their automatic assumption. Oh, Moshe stole the money, and they're done you to kaf chov. And you know, their bayim here are always taking these great salaries from the yeshiva. We're charging so much tuition so we can live in such a, you know, it's a great life, you know, whatever it is. And there are people always coming up with all these interesting svaras, and that's human nature. And we have to, if they did it, if Klai Yisrael, the Dor HaMidbar, or the Dor Deya, said that about Moshe Rabbeinu, then we have to realize that surely that's the minhag of people. And we have to be like Moshe. We have to worry about this Chiddush Hashem that people are saying. So it's like a similar thing. In the Rabbag, we have to worry about the Chiddush Hashem, which is also somewhat far-fetched. that people are saying that he became ani because he gave too much money for tzedakah, and especially if you say my first thing, and because of that, we asked her, you know, to give tzedakah, even though we don't know he's going to become an ani, and because of that, we asked her giving extra money to the Beis HaMikdash, where there's no chash for going ani because of the low plug, because, you know, it's also such a vaitish chumrah that we have to be so careful on, because of the danger. People are going to go ahead and think that, oh, you see what happens, is they're going to, like, it's like a, see the Chiddush Hashem. And by Moshe, they also see the Chiddush Hashem, that they envision that Moshe is stealing the money from the Beis HaMikdash.
Make up stories?
Yeah, they've been negative. And I was trying to say the other thing, and we're obligated to stop it. Moshe had to stop it. Moshe was obligated to do this, and when and by the